Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High, for he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will all come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Then Jesus gave the following illustration. Can one blind person lead another? Won't they both fall into a ditch? Students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who is fully trained will become like the teacher. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying, friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. So C.S. Lewis is the well-known author of the Chronicles of Narnia series and famous Christian writings such as Mere Christianity. And he penned an article, and it was called The Trouble with X. It's the letter X. And it speaks beautifully to tonight's scripture. So how often do we face challenges with other human beings? It could be at home or at work or while you're serving in God's kingdom. People are making our life harder than it needs to be. It could be our husband or our wife or our significant other, our children, our in-laws, our neighbors, but not you, Pam, our boss, co-workers, clients, other committee members. It could be that person that just cut you off in traffic. The list goes on and on. And when we share about these difficulties with another person, they suggest we just go to the other person that's causing us harm, and we talk it out. We bring up the issues that we have with the person. We make them see things from our perspective. We be reasonable, friendly, and calm in our approach, and all's going to be good. After all, people are usually pretty reasonable. But inside, we're thinking, he doesn't know X. We know, based on past experience, how useless it would be to do that. Either X is going to cause a scene, or X will deny the issue at hand, or X is going to agree with us and promise to do better, and then continue in the same behavior, breaking yet more promises. Or maybe we've never even tried to talk through with X, because we saw from the beginning how useless it would be. Any attempt to talk things over with X will fail, just like all other plans that we've tried to make with X, because of the fatal flaws in X's character. Jealousy or laziness, being too sensitive, stubborn, bossy, anger, moody. Maybe it's that condescending, critical tone that X has. There was a time we believed that something external would happen to change our situation. Some good fortune would come swoop us out of our dilemma with X. Maybe it was a new job, more money, better health. Maybe we're going to move. But we learned that X still has his fatal flaws, even with these positive events. This realization is helpful for us to move forward, to face the fact that even if all external things went right, real happiness would still depend on the character of the people we have to be around, and that we can't alter their characters. Lewis makes a key reflection here. When we see how all our plans may fall apart on the characters of other people, the people that we have to deal with, we are in one way seeing what it must be like for God. He has provided this beautiful world for people to live in. He gave us brains to use and a conscience to help us make decisions. He wants us to delight in having our needs met, food, drink, rest, sleep, exercise. Yet having given these wonderful bounties to people, he sees all of his plans spoiled, just like we see our plans spoiled at times, by the corruptness of people themselves. All the things he has given us to be happy with, we turn into occasions to argue, be jealous, wasteful, and foolish. But there are two respects in which God's view must be very different from ours. In the first place, he sees like we do how all people we cross paths with are in various ways kind of floundering or difficult. But when he peeks into the picture of our world, he sees one more person of the same kind, with the same ability to be awkward and difficult, the one we never do see. He sees us. Wisdom comes when we also see that we are just that sort of person, that we have fatal flaws in our characters as well. All the hopes and plans that others have again and again been crushed on our character, just like our hopes and plans have been crushed on theirs. Each of us has a really fatal flaw in us, something which gives others just that same feeling of despair which our flaws give them. And it's almost certainly something you don't know about. It's kind of like having bad breath, everyone else notices, but the person who has it. Or snoring. The one who's snoring, they don't know they're snoring, they don't hear it. Everybody else does. So we may wonder, how come people haven't told us about our flaws? They've tried over and over, just like we've tried over and over to tell them about theirs, but we just didn't hear it. Maybe people trying to tell us showed up as nagging or anger or that silent treatment after our behavior warranted kind of some silence. And even the faults we do own, we don't fully own. We may admit to losing our temper once in a while, but others know we're always losing our temper. Or we may admit to drinking too much last Saturday, but others know that we drink way too much. Or maybe we admit to judging someone's taste in their clothes or their hairstyle, when really we are judgmental quite often and in so many ways more significant than a hairstyle. The second difference in God's view versus our own is this. God loves the people in spite of their faults. He goes on loving. He does not give up, and he doesn't change the amount of love that he gives to people. And while we may think that's easy for God to do, you know, because he doesn't have to be around those people like we have to, we're way off base with that line of thinking. Because God is both inside and outside of them. Therefore, he is with them more deeply than we will ever be. God is with every nasty thought within their minds and ours. Every moment of hatred, envy, arrogance, greed, and pride, God's there. This grieves his spirit more than it grieves ours. Yet God continues to love and be loved to the very people that get on our nerves like fingernails scraped down a chalkboard. And he continues to love us even with our own fatal flaws. How might we move, be more Christ-like with those whose paths we crossed? We must love X more, and we must learn to see ourselves as a person of fatal flaws, hold a mirror to our own face, and be willing to open our eyes to what's peering back at us. What does loving someone more look like? It's coming from a place of grace and acceptance of others where they are in their life. Realizing that we all act out of our own dysfunctions, usually without even knowing it. The more we're able to come from a place of understanding, the more we're able to respond versus to react to others. It's not judging people that are different than we are or who are doing actions that set us off. Realizing that unless we have walked in their shoes, we have no idea what they may be dealing with. It's living out of 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. I am patient and kind. I am not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. I do not demand my own way. I am not irritable, and I keep no record of being wronged. I do not rejoice about injustice, but rejoice whenever the truth wins out. I never give up, never lose faith, am always hopeful, and endure through every circumstance. It's keeping ourselves from thinking about other people's faults unless we're in a position where doing so is part of a role we play. For example, a teacher, a parent, mentor, a counselor. So when thoughts about others' faults come into our mind, simply shove them away. Think of our own faults instead. For it is here, with God's help, that we can do something. We are the only one we can improve. Nothing, not even God, if he isn't invited into the life of another, can help the other person be really happy as long as X remains envious, self-centered, and spiteful. And that is true for us as well. How do we become aware of our flaws? One way is to ask the people who we are an X to. Yep, it's a lesson in humility to approach someone with an open mind, with ears to hear, and a willingness to own what is shared. And just listen without getting defensive. When I was talking with Pastor Dave about this particular article, he shared just such a discussion that he had with his oldest daughter, Leah, when she was a freshman in high school. And he asked her what things that he did that made it difficult for her to have a healthy relationship with him, and what character flaws of his got in the way of their relationship. Then he would shut up and he listened. He had to resist the urge to come back with his side of the story or what Leah needed to do to help the relationship, her own stuff. He just had to be quiet. He received her input and in the process discovered more about himself and growth edges that he had. And their relationship flourished to a whole new level. The initial pain of humility was worth the gain in a stronger and healthier relationship. As we look into the mirror, what is inside of us? What do we need to turn to God for help in altering? In each of us, there is something growing, which will itself keep us from experiencing heaven on earth, unless it is nipped in the bud. Letting Jesus into all the rooms of our house, even our messy rooms, and the places where we keep the light off, because we like to shove things in, hide them, turn that light off and close the door, our places of darkness, is key to our continued spiritual growth and our emotional health. Let us surrender ourselves to the one who knows and understands our innermost being and our needs, and has the power to help us overcome. As we take communion tonight, may we look into the mirror and open our eyes and heart to God's leading. And may we find a deeper love in our hearts to give to others, as God gives to us without ceasing. I'd like to thank Larry Marshall tonight. He is going to consecrate the elements and serve communion on Christopher's behalf.
Just to say, it's interesting in the messiness of life that Easter happened. Just yesterday, we celebrated that, did we not? One of my favorite Easter stories is the walk to Emmaus. And what's powerful is that the two disciples, as they were walking, Jesus came amongst them, and they didn't know it was Jesus until he broke bread. And when he broke bread, their eyes were opened. And I think that's when Jesus, instead of being a stranger sitting at table with them, became their Lord, and their hearts were strangely warmed. So I hope tonight that as we take the bread and the cup, that our hearts will continue to be warmed, no matter how we're feeling. Jesus was betrayed. He had supper with his disciples. And as they were sharing together, that night he took bread, and after he blessed it, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is given for you. Take and eat this in remembrance of me." Take the gift of Jesus' body. And after supper, he took the cup. And after he had blessed it, he said, "This cup represents the new covenant of blood that I will shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As oft as you drink of this cup, do this in remembrance of me. So we remember there's no crown without a cross. Jesus shed his blood for you and for me. Take the cup.
Song and lend your highest praise to him who is the King of all and dwells in endless days. How resplendent his glory, how majestic his name. Now to the uncreated one, oh, let the anthem raise. Oh, worship him, our Father God, the Spirit and the Word, who fashioned all things from his joy and saw that it was good. What perfection of friendship, what communion we shared. But choosing death, we fell from life, aside the guilty pair. My soul, the gospel song, attend the joyful news. For Christ has come, the perfect Son, his Father's will to choose. In our place he did suffer, in our place became sin. The death of death, the death of Christ, who stands alive again.
This is the body of Jesus Christ.
Christ alone be our treasure, Christ alone our reward. Come bid the nations sing with us the praises of the friend we have in Jesus. Let us sing.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear.
May you go in peace tonight, knowing that God loves you, and may all you do be done in love.